week here. Huh? Great week. Here we are. Huh? Yeah. Amen. So let's open in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity that we have to get together in your name. Thank you for leading us in faith this week and encouraging us in what you're doing, Lord. Thank you that you work in our hearts, you work in our lives, you're so faithful, God. You're so faithful. Thank you for the cross. You've given us a place where we are made new. Lord, thank you. Thank you. And we pray for our friends and family and anybody we know who's sick right now. Pray for a great covering on our country in the middle of this coronavirus, and that you would really just end it. Lord, you could do anything. So we ask that you would end it, limit it, wrap the thing up and throw it away. And pray that you can protect countries or nations. I was thinking of Africa this morning. As there's some cases popping up in Africa, I just ask that you would, in your mercy, cover that nation. Lord, I pray for Brazil. Lord, and thank you that you've given us an understanding of your control and your sovereignty in this world. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, he's back. How you doing? Good to see you. All right, so here we are, Sunday evening. We don't have any musicians. We don't have a teen ministry, but what we do have is our Bibles, and what else do we need, huh? What else do we need? So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to have we'll have a message, and then since it's a National Day of Prayer, President Trump declared a National Day of Prayer, I thought we would spend some time, you know, with socially distant prayer. And so that we would, you know, as comfortable as we are, but we'll be here. We can pray. We can just sit here and we can pray. Pray for our country. Pray for our president. Pray for our doctors. Pray for people who are out and about, and all the things that we have to pray about. I know we spoke this morning about the things in our life, right? The weighty things in our life, and what do we do with them? But we bring them to God. So I'm gonna speak for a little bit here. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We had a great service this morning. Actually, Frank told me he counted 71 people here in the. Does that match up with what you counted, Carlos? Didn't count, so we'll go with it. Official count: 71 people came out this morning. We had 26 people watch on Facebook. That's what Tony told me. All right, so 26 people watching on Facebook. So, yeah, I mean, just to show the faith that we have and the priority we have. We want to be wise in this time, don't we? We want to be wise. We don't want to be rash about anything. But also, we live our lives and we walk by faith. So I was encouraged, actually. At 10:25 this morning, I was in the back and Gene said, "No one's coming." He's like, "No one's coming. Let's just get started." I said, "They're coming, Gene. They're coming." All right. So everyone came in there at the last minute, but it was a good morning. So, here, open up to Ephesians chapter 6. We had a great time Thursday night with a few of the guys down in the basement, and we had great fellowship there and serious discussion. All right, serious subject matter, and then a great discussion to follow. So we came to this point, and I think to talk about our armor, the armor of God in this time, is a good thing, to encourage each other and what we have in Christ and what is given to us. So Ephesians chapter 6, this is the end, right? The conclusion of the book of Ephesians. Paul has had a lot to say. And about church life, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, about practical issues of life, right? Marriage, children, employment. He talks about all of these things. unity in the body. And then he concludes it all with this portion. He says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Put on the whole armor of God. The whole thing. Putting on parts and leaving out other things. I was talking with another pastor recently, and we were if pastors hang out, we talk about sermon illustrations, right? We say, "Oh, I could use that in a message. Oh, that sounds like a good theme. Oh, that could be like a whole series." And we were talking about this idea of drive-through Christianity. Right, that I can go to the drive-thru and look at the menu and select the things that I would like. Right? Like you go to Dunkin' Donuts and you say, "I'll take one of those Shamrock Donuts," right? "Take a blueberry glaze," and we go through the thing, coffee, how would you like your coffee? Cream, no sugar, whatever, or just black, however you want your coffee. But our faith is not that way. Where we don't pull up to the drive-thru of God and say, "Okay, I would like some grace." And he says, "Okay, would you like some truth with that?" "No, no, 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 no truth. I would just like the grace." "Okay, can you show me how much you love me?" "Yes, but that comes with righteousness." "No, no, no, please hold the righteousness. I just want to experience the love," right? But when we walk with God, it's the whole picture. And so here in the armor, in the same way, it is the whole armor of God. And this armor all works together to protect us and to defend us so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And I love that word, the wiles of the devil. Isn't that good? Like Wile E. Coyote. What is he up to? He's always scheming. He's trying to chase that or catch that little road runner. And he's got the Acme TNT. He's got the all kinds of stuff. He is always scheming and he is always doing something. And he has a plan that is against us. So what does the Lord say to us? Does he say, "Study the devil and make sure you have a way to oppose him"? No, no. He says, "Put on the armor of God. I have graciously given you this armor. Well, if you would recognize it and take it upon yourself, then you have a great defense against this agenda or against these wiles that are against you, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, if we think of who the devil is, he is a lot more powerful than we are. Right? He is pretty powerful, to say the least. He is supernatural. And we are not. We are natural. We don't have supernatural power. We don't have the ability to resist him in ourselves. But it says here that if we put on the whole armor of God, we do have the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil. He will outsmart us. Have you ever been tricked by somebody? Have you ever been tricked by somebody like significantly younger than you? How's that make you feel? You're like, "Oh man, oh man. It's not supposed to happen." But the devil is able to manipulate things and he is able to challenge us. And if we oppose him in our ability, then we will be smushed. But thankfully, the Lord doesn't come to us and say, "Stand against the wiles of the devil. And depending on how you do, I will give you armor." Right? I'll give you the armor that you're worthy of. And no, he says, "Put on the armor so that you will be able to stand. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore," considering all of that, like we just said, "therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." And here we go. Now we get into the armor. "Having girded your waist with truth." There's a belt, right? The belt of truth. It's important that the belt is holding everything together in a sense. The breastplate of righteousness is actually connected to the belt of truth. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, would be hanging on the belt of truth. that truth is so important that it actually binds all these things together and it supports the whole armor. That without truth, then righteousness is not righteous. Righteousness is not right. but because of truth, that righteousness that God has given me is there, and I can depend on it, and I can wear it and depend on it in an attack from the enemy. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, God has made us righteous. 1 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God. Where? In Him. All right? So we are made. We are righteous. As soon as we believe, when we put our faith in Christ, we are made righteous. It is imputed to us, His righteousness. We are being sanctified and we are becoming more righteous, but our position in Christ is that we are righteous. And that cannot change. That is a piece of armor for me that I put it on. And it's supported by the truth. And I say the truth is that I am righteous in Christ. The devil is the father of lies. That's what Christ said in John 8. Right? He is the father of lies. All right? Have you ever met somebody else who say, I think you might be the father of lies? No. All right? But he is the father of lies, and he always, that's why the belt of truth is so important, because the lies are always coming. Always. I don't want to discourage us, but lies are always coming towards us, right? Considering my value, considering my importance, the greatest lie I think is out there is that my salvation is dependent on me, and that I can do something to lose my salvation, or I can do something to limit my salvation. My salvation is dependent on God. It's dependent on Christ. That's truth. I need that truth, because the lie will come against it, and by myself, I will be overcome by it. But He has given me this piece of armor, the belt of truth, that supports righteousness. And then, what's next? Verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have gospel shoes. Where are we going? Wherever we are going, we have a message to bring with us. We have the gospel. The beautiful gospel. God's message for us. That He is the way of salvation. The John chapter 4, it is in there where Christ is ministering to the Samaritans for 2 days. And they say, at first we believe because of what she said, but now we believe because of your words, Lord, that you are the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. Man, what a message. We have that message to bring out into the streets. And like I said, we were out yesterday. This week we went down to Worcester on Thursday afternoon and had some great time in evangelism there. The first person we spoke to had come to our church 2 weeks ago. Right? And then she came back this morning. So it was great. And then some great conversations. And then yesterday out with Pastor Douglas and my son Noah, we had a great time. And have you ever been disappointed when you go out with the gospel? I think when we are going, getting together, we're getting ready, we say, okay, we're going to go out, we're going to bring the gospel to people. I'll tell you, there's always like insecurity. There's always a little fear. There's always like, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, right? I don't know if people are going to receive it very well, right? We get a little nervous, but then when we come back, we're so excited. Say, man, that was awesome. That was so good. When we have the purpose of going out with this message, God blesses it. And it's actually an armor. A part of our armor is being active in the gospel. Communicating the gospel. Like lifting up Christ, like it says in John 12:32. Christ said, if I be lifted up, then I will draw all men unto me. Isn't that great? That takes the pressure off of us. We think that we need to present it a certain way. Like, if it looks this way, then people will come. If it looks that way, people will... Jesus says, hey, I'll simplify this whole thing for you. Lift me up. Preach the gospel. Preach the cross. Lift me up. Make me visible. I'll take care of people. And so, gospel shoes. Verse 18, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Right? The shield of faith. Oh man, what a shield. The Roman shield would have been actually similar to this size of this pulpit right here, this centerpiece. Like maybe a little bigger, actually. 4 feet tall, 2 feet wide. Just this massive shield. And you can get behind it. Faith is a great shield. It's a great defense. It is. Why do we need it? Because the devil is just launching darts at us. Just launching fiery darts at us. And then once they, and you know what the intention is? That they would land in the flesh. And that the fiery dart of the devil would ignite the flesh, the natural man, and that the natural man would depend on himself, and I would go that way. But instead, I live by faith, and those things don't come, and they can't hit me, they cannot access me, because faith is my defense. The fiery dart would say, what does it matter? What does it matter who Christ is? And we say, by faith, it matters because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Right? So, our great defense in living by faith. Verse 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Ooh, nice helmet. Oh, it identifies who I am, identifies what I am with. Right? There is a statement made with the helmet, but then also it protects my mind. It protects my thinking. How I think about God, how I think about myself, how I think about other people is defined in my salvation. So when I put it on, there is a great defense to my thinking. Because I can think, my mind is wild. Our minds can go anywhere. We need something to lead us back to the truth, and my salvation is a great thing to depend on. And then here we go. This is the point we wanted to make tonight. Verse 18. Praying, I'm sorry. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh my goodness, where would we be without the Word of God? Where would we be? We would be lost and confused, I think, some. Right? But instead, we have the Word of God, and it is our weapon. Right? The one thing that we have to swing in our advance in the kingdom of God. It is our weapon. And then here we go. This is what I wanted to say. Praying always. This is a weapon. This is part of our armor. Our prayer is part of our armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Okay, so we have this armory that has been given to us, and the last part that the last item that he details there is prayer. That I have something that has been given to me by God, graciously given to me by God, and it is prayer. Prayer. We say that word prayer, and I'm sure a different idea comes into every one of our minds. That there is so much that can happen in prayer. There is so many ways that we can pray. There are so many definitions to prayer. But what I want, and I have consistently said this, I said it this morning, and I think it's very important for us, that our prayer would not just be a list of requests to God. That it wouldn't just be my relationship with God in prayer wouldn't just be that I come to Him and I say, okay, here we go. You ready? You got your pen and paper out? I'm ready to fire off a list at you, right? My aunt's got cancer. My uncle's lost his thumb, right? You know, whatever. And we go through the list, and that is the limit of our, and then we say, okay, thank you. And we walk away. Right, that is there. That is definitely part of prayer. I'm not belittling that at all. But what I want to say is that that would follow worship and praise. That my prayer would be worship to God. My prayer would be recognizing who God is. That in prayer I would be telling God who He is, and I would be listening to Him tell me who I am. And that this is armor for me. I need to know who God is. I need to settle it in my heart, and I need to have these things revolving in my mind that who is God, and that in who He is, I would find who I am. And this is what the place that we want to find in prayer. Worship. We could say there's worship and there's praise. Two different things, right? Worship. I want to worship God for who He is. I just said that, didn't I? Worshiping God for who He is. Spend time reflecting through the Word of who God is and who God has said He is. He hasn't spared any words describing Himself in this book. And He has given us a lot of understanding as to who He is. And then praise we can define as praising God for what He has done. Lord, You are, I worship You for who You are, but then I praise You for what You have done. All right, that You have led me, You have delivered me. Psalm 34, I love it so much. This poor man cried, You heard me and You delivered me from all of my troubles. Man, what a reality. What a great statement we can say. Lord, You have delivered me. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, You have pulled me out of a pit and You have put me on a rock and You have established my goings. Wow, hallelujah. God did that. When we think about the cross, we're coming up to Easter. Easter's coming. Easter's coming. What's Easter going to be like this year? It's going to be different, I think. I have a feeling it's going to be different, right? Everything's different right now, right? But Easter's coming up and we are looking towards the cross. Christ going to the cross with every intention and no holding nothing back, but knowing this is the purpose that He is here, going to the cross, taking my sin, going to the grave, and then overcoming death. Oh my gosh, Lord, I praise You. I praise You for overcoming death for me. And then we think of what He is doing now. We praise Him for what He is doing now, that He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He is praying for me. He is interceding for me. He is my advocate, my counsel. He is doing this for me actively right now. And then we praise Him because He's coming home. He's coming back. The Lord will return, and He will take us with Him. So we are praying always. Paul says, praying always. Always we have worship. Always we have praise. And then always we are bringing our things to Him. But what I mean to say is that I wouldn't bring my things to Him without first worshiping and praising Him. Because what that does is that it leads me in what He is able to do. Last night I was overwhelmed in prayer. I was overwhelmed with the things that I was praying for. And I found myself in prayer getting anxious about the things I was praying for. And I said, Lord, I don't think this is the way that I should be praying. I don't think that's it. I don't want to bring these things to You in prayer and walk away more anxious than when I came. I think the remedy to that is that I would worship Him. And that I would have a settled opinion and settled revelation of who He is. Lord, this is who You are. This is what You have done. And go through the miracles that He's done in the Bible. He made the sun sit still in the sky for 12 hours so Joshua could fight a battle. He split the Red Sea. He split the Jordan River. He brought the walls of Jericho down. He delivered Goliath into the hands of David. He delivered Peter from prison in Acts chapter 12. He delivered Paul from a shipwreck in Acts chapter 27. He has done all of these things, and He is able to do as much, if not more, in my life. So that was my answer. I said, I'm going to step back a minute. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship You, Lord. I'm going to be in worship and praise. And then I'll bring my prayers to You. Because in that way, I understand that they are smaller than You. Like we've been saying, what was the difference between David and Saul? They both saw Goliath. They both heard Goliath. They were both intimidated by Goliath. But Saul saw someone bigger than him, and David saw someone smaller than God. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. And in my prayer, that difference can be in my prayer also. that I can bring things to God because they are too big for me, or I can bring things to God because they are smaller than Him and He is able to work in them. So whatever it is, we bring it to Him. And we'll spend some time right now in prayer and just think, what could God do? And don't be worried about prayers being too small. There's no prayer that is too insignificant for us to bring to God. He can handle it. He's not overwhelmed. Even now, with more people praying, maybe because of coronavirus, maybe more people are praying, but He is not stressed. He doesn't have a bandwidth problem where more people are coming in and He's stressed by it. He is able. He is so able. We have the testimony of the three Hebrew boys in the fire in Daniel chapter 3, the testimony of Daniel in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6. They used the same words. They said, "Our God is able. Our God is able." So we'll pray tonight, and we think of our brothers and sisters and friends and everybody who is sick in need of a physical touch. We think of people whose hearts are cold, that we want to see them moved, right? Moved by the Holy Spirit, healed, that He would meet people and He would lead people. God did not call us to come here and fix people. Isn't that amazing? Except for Dr. Phyllis. But He didn't come here, and the church isn't a place where we fix people. The church is a place where people hear the Word of God and God goes to work on them. The greatest victory is that God would work on people, and He would lead people in meekness. He would lead people in mercy. He would lead people in grace and love. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for our missionaries around the world. We know a lot of people. We support a lot of missionaries from this church, and just pray that they would have safety and wisdom. Right, Pastor Cliff made it out of China. He's in Brazil. Pastor, there's another pastor maybe who's still in China. So we pray for these guys. God knows what they need and what they're going through. And then pray that this ultimately would all be wrapped up and go away pretty soon, because that could happen too. So, Lord, thank You for this message. Thank You for the time that we have now in Your name. We just ask that You would bless it, Lord, as we come together, Lord, as believers full of faith, trusting You, believing You, depending on You, Lord, delivering all of our things to You, God, we ask. Amen.